Somebody else used to say this, so I'm going to steal it from them because it really is. It's our favorite time of the week. I talked to Jeff Hathorn. Three people laughed. Two of them were you and I, Jeff, but we got the joke and it was funny. I love talking to Jeff. I generally do it on Fridays during the football season. We bounce around the time, so we hit a different audience, and that's great. Speaking of bouncing around the time, Steelers on Sunday Night Football out west, they generally have success in primetime games. They generally have success when they play the Chargers out there, and it'll look like a home game, yada, 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 all that. But all that pomp and circumstance aside, are the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of rolling now after that Indianapolis game, or is that a one-off?
You know, it's like being at Kennywood. It's like, are you still climbing the hill, or are you rolling down the hill? Or is there a hidden curve coming our way? Is there a drop that we don't see? Because it's been like that for this defense, where at times you think, all right, I could seriously make a case that they're one of the best teams in the AFC, and then there's like, okay, they're just a pretender. So can this defense back it up? And they're facing a team that's injured. They lost both starting tackles. They've lost their top two running backs, yet they have a mentality and a good quarterback that kind of keeps them going along with a pretty decent defense. So can they stack games back-to-back where they play well? That's the challenge for this team, because it had been a couple of weeks where they really hadn't done any splash. They got it all in one game. Now, how do they move that forward against an LA team? I mean, Jim Harbaugh is the coach, so you know it's a kind of a tough-minded team that's going to be really physical. And their offensive coordinator with the Chargers is the old Ravens offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So they know it's coming. It's just, are they going to be able to play at a high level?
Do this, and this is something that's interesting to ask after a win, but do they have enough receivers, and are the receivers good enough?
So I would say it's an offense that doesn't use a lot of three-receiver sets. So I don't think it's as necessary that you have the depth at receiver. Is there receiver depth what other teams are? No. They do have a number one that could be a number one on most teams in DK Metcalf. Beyond that, there are some question marks, but they also have a tight end room that's unlike anywhere else in the NFL, with Freiermuth, Jonnu Smith, Darnell Washington, and even a Connor Hayward that you can use in different positions on the offense. So, you know, there's a question at receiver. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is new to this team. Can he get on the field maybe by Sunday and provide at least a deep threat? That's what we're going to see as this game plays out. But I don't think it's as critical for them if you just look at the receiver position, because there are other options that they can throw it to.
Do people go so back and forth on T.J. Watt and his value against his contract? He showed the other day he was very, very good. Now, is there always that 30,000-foot argument, is he worth his contract, and we don't live in the moment enough with him?
Well, I mean, you could take that all the way back to people that say, well, in society, how can you pay a guy to play football $41 million in his job? I think you have to look at T.J. more than just the stats, and this is – been the argument for Myles Garrett for a number of years, is that look at how he impacts the game by teams running away from him or having to worry about him. And I think things are similar with TJ. Teams have to spend so much time with him that he should open up opportunities for others. I don't know that this has been the best start that he's ever had through eight games, but I don't think he's been as bad as he's been portrayed at times. I just think guys haven't made plays on the other side. I mean, if you're one man going against two or three most times, I don't care how good you are, it's hard to get home. It's when you can get those opportunities like he got last week. I mean, it was a big part of the game. It looks like the Colts they were at the Steelers 39, they were driving, and they decided to go one-on-one. Watt beats his man, strip sack, game changes, Steelers win. So that's what TJ can bring you.
I want to switch gears, talk about Alexander Ovechkin coming in here last night. The crowd gives him a standing ovation. They show a montage. Some will say that's breaking fan code. I think that you can appreciate greatness. You have to pick your spots, but even if it's a bitter rival, you can appreciate greatness. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I really like the fact that is happening, that fans are understanding. For 20 years, you've seen these two, the hockey equivalent of Bird and Magic. And to recognize the opponent, I think is awesome. I commend the Penguins for doing that. I hope that the Capitals would return in kind when, you know, Sid goes down there and whatever milestone they want to appreciate with him. I mean, it's been awesome for us to watch these games in those environments. And yeah, I think it's, listen, we're at a point now, Ovechkin's 40. He's done something that no other NHL player did and no one expected him to do. It's, you can admire greatness and then boo him on the next shift.
Capitals might, but they'll have Tom Wilson kind of controlling the scoreboard. Let me ask you one quick question before I let you go about Pitt football. Pitt football week off, then Notre Dame. It's the age-old rust versus rest. But I think with a college football season, you're going to have a baked-in off week and the way that it rolls and the way that it's camp is so early and all that kind of stuff. I generally lean toward I'd like to keep playing, but I also think when you inserted a new quarterback, it might do good for Pitt to have that week off into Notre Dame. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think to get a little extra time to prepare for Notre Dame is good, one, but they've had a number of injuries. They're probably going to get their leading tackler back. They're going to get a little healthier for Kyle Lewis, who's an impact player for them. And they have a few other injuries that I think this came at a really good time. Just kind of step back for a second, realize you're not all that. Notre Dame's going to be a whole different challenge and give your body a little bit of a break. I mean, you can't know how a season's going to play out, but I think this played out well for them. I think this time the rest beats the rust fear, just to kind of reset, because these three games determine your season. You got Notre Dame at Georgia Tech and Miami. You win all three, you got a chance to be in the football playoffs.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, get ready for Sunday, Jeff. It will be, the day will seem like it takes 39 hours to get to 8:30.
And then the sleep will seem like 5 minutes.
I know, right back in here Monday. Jeff, you're the best. Enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Colin.
Absolutely. Jeff Hathorn, man, he's so good. Love talking to him on Fridays. We'll take your calls. We'll come right back. I do want to ask you about that man in Center County. Is he a nut or is he on to something? And we're not talking about Penn State football. No. Is this man crazy or is he on to something? We'll get into that in just a little bit. Traffic now. All right, here we are, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Top of the next hour, Dr. Matt Miller, AHN. He's fantastic. He's kind of a leader in his field. He really is. Diagnostic radiology, AHN, specializes in breast imaging. He's big time, not just here, but really respected nationally. I had him on before. And they were offering walk-in clinics straight off the street, cold, didn't have to call. And that was about a month ago. Well, he texted me the other day. He goes, I can't wait to tell you how many people we affected. I said, well, don't text me. Come on the show and tell me about it. And he also said, I can't wait to tell you the things we're going to do in the future. I said, well, don't text me. Come on the show. And he said, all right, you're on. 4 o'clock on Friday. So here we are. I'm going to talk to Dr. Matt. He's fantastic, and he can help save your life. And he has a story right in his own home that he helped save a life. So we'll talk to him coming up at about 4 o'clock. Great man. Great, great man. We'll do that. All right, is this guy in Center County, is he on to something or is he on something? That's what I want to get into now. So this from WTAJ. In that part of the world, that's a big TV station. It is. It's very well respected and great people working there. They had a story that went like this today. Researchers said they spoke with an eyewitness who claimed to have seen Bigfoot crossing I-80 in early October. Okay? Saying he was sincere and credible. Now, an investigator with the Bigfoot Field Research Organization, or BFRO, I mean, everybody knows that, wrote in his report that the witness was a retired civil engineer and, you ready for this? Air Force vet. The witness initially reported the sighting took place by 5:30, October 4th, around mile marker 169 I-80. Said he was traveling roughly 150 yards behind another vehicle when he noticed something strange. A dark figure appeared to enter the highway ahead of the other vehicle, described as a human-like head and shoulders standing over the vehicle in front of him, and the whole body, it was dark. The witness told researchers he thought the figure was about to get hit. What the hell is he doing? He's going to get hit, the man said. He continued by saying what shook him was the way the creature moved across the highway. Not quick or jerky like a sprinter, but fast and smooth. Almost like a glide. It was said the figure crossed the highway took about 3 seconds. He claimed that whatever it was effortlessly disappeared into the woods without needing to climb over the guardrail, as most humans or bears would need to do. Everything happened quickly, he said. He wasn't sure if the unknown creature stepped over the guardrail or just hurdled it. Now, in addition to the main witness, two others reported seeing something that day. One person claimed in his report, "I just want to add I know what I saw, but I don't know what I saw. I'm an avid hunter, 50-plus years experience in the woods. I'm telling you it wasn't a bear." Now, BFRO, again, Bigfoot Field Research Organization, reported the sighting was approximately 11.5 miles northeast of Bellefonte near Bald Eagle State Park. The low forested ridgeline runs roughly 11.5 miles, rising to meet the high forest of Nittany Mountain. What do you think these witnesses saw? That's what I want to get into at 866-391-1020. Here's the thing about Bigfoot that I always wonder. So people say they got these Bigfoot sightings. I had a Bigfoot sighting. I had this. In order to have a Bigfoot, you need a Mrs. Bigfoot, right? I don't think I'm wrong here. So even in this day and age when everybody has a different flag, I'm all for loving whoever you love, all of that. I am. I'm for it. You marry who you like. In kind of getting it done, you still need a Mrs. Bigfoot. To my point, we never see two of them together. And we never see, like, you know, signs of, we never see baby Bigfoot. There has to be at least two to make one more. It's just always this independent creature out in the middle of something. They got to find each other in order to keep the chain alive. That's why I'm so very skeptical of Bigfoot. There would have to have been a gathering at some point, even for just a few minutes, if you know what I mean. And nobody has ever stumbled upon that or seen them together or anything like that. That's why I'm always highly skeptical for other reasons. But the weird part is you got people who, and this is the crazy part about these Bigfoot sightings, who otherwise are like honest, everybody believes them, upstanding members of their community, and they're always like, "I seen what I seen. I know what I seen. And what I seen was Bigfoot." And then you wonder, what is their impetus to lie? What do they have to gain by lying? They're not going to get paid. They don't have photos. Nobody's going to give them a bunch of money to just do an interview and say this. So why would they put their credibility out there and have some people question them as wackadoodles? Bigfoot, yes, no, somewhere in the middle. Let's talk. 866-391-1020. News, bottom of the hour. KDK. Listen for that drive at 5. Stories driving the news every single day at 5. It's all brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. 5 o'clock today, we got to help out one of our own. Young lady on the south side. We got to help her out. 1 week ago today, she lost something incredibly valuable to her, and I'm putting out the APB for her. She's exhausting all efforts to find something that she lost last Friday, and I'm here to help. I mean, we got to help. We got to get on the case. Maybe Marty knows him. The world's greatest searcher, something like that. got to figure it out. But I'll explain coming up at 5, and we'll have her on. By the way, I'll grab your calls in a moment. The J.D. Vance, the maybe head-to-head J.D. Vance v. Josh Shapiro presidential matchup that could come down the pike next time, just got some gasoline thrown on it.
And you'll excuse me for getting emotional about it, but when I see hungry people in my state who are hungry because of J.D. Vance's bullshit politics, that makes me angry.
I'm here for it. You know what? It could be the next presidential matchup, and they just stood in there, tail of the tape right now. You got Governor Shapiro throwing darts and big ones at J.D. Vance. Woo! Let's go. 866-391-1020. Brody's in Swissvale. Hi, Brody.
Hey. Good. You're giving me a little time today because I got three subjects to talk about. We'll do traffic with the lovely Margo Renzel. Just give me some time. I want to talk about three things. Is that cool?
Yes.
I can't get it in 2 minutes.
First is what?
Thank you. I love you, man. I love you. Listen. I want to talk about her going down to Florida. The Bigfoot thing is funny. I laughed. Just like I said, this Bigfoot. I've been following the Bigfoot thing since the 70s, since I was little. People are seeing things. There's no Bigfoot, okay?
Or it's a person in a costume. It's a person in a costume.
Yes, just like the clowns. Thank you. It's not real, okay? Margo, I talked to her about this. Why are you flying to Florida, Margo? Come on.
She's just going to have a vacation.
I know, but my God, take a train or have someone drive you. No, not down to Florida. That's too far. I know. I talked about it with her. I wasn't a spoiler. You know, she's smiling. I know. And also, by the way, I love you people. I'm going to bring, like, a snack tray for you one day. You're going to be like, Brody's in the studio. And I would fill in for Margo for free to get experience. I don't know if your boss would go with that, but I would produce you for free anyway, for experience. All right. Third thing.
Yes.
That third matchup, my God, I just heard that on the news. Our governor screaming, oh, my God, with J.D. Vance. I can't believe it.
I can't either.
And you'll excuse me for getting emotional about it, but when I see hungry people in my state who are hungry because of J.D. Vance's bullshit politics, that makes me angry.
Are they really hungry because of J.D. Vance, though? Like, that'll be the retort. But now let's see if J.D. Vance fires back on him. It's getting heated up. So he's putting money on the snap cards, I guess. That's what the whole news conference was about, or at least that was one thing extracted from the news conference. But governorship, that's two times he's sworn today. He swore in a tweet today. He said, we get S done in Pennsylvania. And it wasn't edited on his social media. Josh Shapiro firing hard. Hey, Jack, happy weekend almost.
Almost, and it's football tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday.
What football's tonight?
There's like three games. College.
Uh-huh.
And, who's playing tonight? I forget. Anyway, I know it. I looked it up already. And I told Margo not to worry, I'll drink beer for her.
Okay, so what else you got? What about Bigfoot? You believe in Bigfoot?
You know what? I saw Bigfoot.
Where?
Up in near Clymer, PA.
Okay, tell me a little bit more. So you said you saw Bigfoot up near Clymer, PA, which is in Indiana County, I believe.
Yes, sir. It's like northeast in the borough of Indiana.
Okay, so you're in... What were you? First of all, let's backtrack a little bit. What were you doing in Clymer, Pennsylvania?
Making a delivery.
Making a delivery in Clymer, Pennsylvania. Okay,
yes, sir.
Which is, like you said, kind of in the middle of nowhere. I think isn't there a famous coal mine in Clymer where a bunch of people got killed?
I think so, yeah.
Anyhow, so you're making a delivery. What were you delivering?
Auto parts, like I told you.
Oh, okay. So you're delivering auto parts. Are you in a, what kind of truck?
This time was just a small van.
Small van, what time of day?
Afternoon.
Take me through the rest of the story now, sir.
I'm driving back towards Indiana to get the route, you know, get down to Route 22 to come back.
Okay.
And I look over to my right. I said, boy, that's a big dog running on all fours, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, it stopped and stood up. It was a giant black bear. And I says, that's Bigfoot.
But was it a bear or was it Bigfoot?
It was probably a black bear. That's what everybody sees.
Oh! You know, Jack, you had me going. I thought you thought you saw Bigfoot, but you're admitting it was just a bear. You had a whole audience going.
Yeah, but that's what I think people were seeing.
Oh, okay. Well, how do you then explain away the people who say it skedaddled over this guardrail very efficiently?
Well, there was a tractor parked on the side of the road.
Uh-huh.
When this bear, it leaped right over it.
Get out of here.
Uh-huh. A farm tractor.
Did you like going to Clymer, PA, or was that a little bit like at the edge of your range pretty much?
Yeah, that was like pain in the ass.
Yeah, it sounds like it, especially bears. Did you ever hit anything in one of those vans?
No.
No?
Oh, yeah. No. A dog.
You hit a dog?
Yeah.
Did it die?
I think.
What do you mean you think? Did you not stop and render aid?
I stopped. Well, it did die, to tell you the truth. It did die, but I didn't, you know, give it mouth to mouth or anything.
Happy weekend, Jack. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Coming up next, are people picking on Jelly Roll? Or do they got good reason? I'll explain. Top of the hour. You're not going to want to miss Dr. Matt Miller. Great guy. AHN. And he specializes in breast imaging. He had an event. Well, AHN did. And man, the people came out. And he's got a lot more ahead. I got to talk to him about saving lives. Here we are. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. So Jelly Roll. Now, Jelly Roll has turned his life around. You ever see anything? I've seen Jelly Roll give a couple speeches. And he gave, like, one to the Tennessee Titans that I saw. He gave a couple other ones to some college teams. And then other ones to jail inmates. I know Jelly Roll's an acclaimed singer. I'm not a fan of his music. He is a lights-out speaker. Like, if you didn't even know what he did, and he just came in and spoke to athletes or at-risk youths or people who are incarcerated, you'd go, I don't even know what, I don't need to know what this guy does. He's an incredible public speaker. He just is. I don't even know his real name. This is Jelly Roll, because there's nobody who looks like him. Anyhow, Jelly Roll's jammed up. Oh my gosh, that was good, and I didn't even try to say that. Anyhow, so Jelly Roll's all jammed up about a trip overseas. Well, he went to Australia. Okay, which is way overseas. Either way you go. So he's calling out Louis Vuitton in Sydney, Australia for profiling him. Okay? So he's currently in his Australia tour. He took to his Instagram story just a couple days ago, explaining that while he and friends were at the store, they were treated like criminals. He said this, hey man, Louis Vuitton and Sydney legitimately just treated us like we were fitting, meaning fixing, meaning going to, come in and rob the place. I've never been looked at more like criminal. Listen, the last time I was looked at like a criminal this bad, I was an actual criminal this bad. So, all that being said, Jelly Roll served 8 years in prison and 7 years on probation, aggravated robbery, all that kind of stuff. He got released. He violated his parole, had cocaine, all this kind of stuff. Since then, he's donated about $250,000 to finance the construction of a recording studio. And he's spoken out against the fentanyl crisis. And he's regularly visited jails to motivate inmates, like I was saying at the very beginning. Here's the thing, and this just happened here in Pittsburgh. Here's a bridge that when you cross in your life, and some people are going to get mad at me for saying this, but this is the truth. When you cross this bridge in your life, people are going to look at you very skeptically. Tattoos on your face. I don't know how else to say it. So there's this fella in McKees Rocks that just got picked up by the sheriff's office. And this was announced today, this morning. Kevin Krause announced today McKees Rocks man facing 24 charges, including aggravated assault of an unborn child and kidnapping of a minor, has been taken into custody. 24-year-old Justin Daugherty was charged at the end of August, Allegheny County Police. Then he ran across his ex-girlfriend. She had a new boyfriend. Long story short, he punched her in the stomach multiple times. They put this release out there, and you know what he's got? Tattoos on his face. Okay? I will say this, and I don't care who it makes mad. My observation holds true. A huge percentage of those who have facial tattoos are deadbeat losers. It's one of life's easiest giveaways. If you got tattoos on your face, I'm not talking about your neck, I'm talking about on your face, you have made a significantly terrible life decision. Not all, large percentage. So I'm not speaking in absolutes. So you can give me the Jelly Rolls of the world, Post Malone, whatever. But keep this in mind. Jelly Roll did make bad decisions way back in the day. To me, it's 100%, not 100, 90-some percent dead giveaway. Okay? That you've made terrible decisions. That's a bad decision, getting a tattoo on your face. Because what happens is this. People look at it and they go, man, I don't know if I can employ this guy. I don't know why you'd get a tattoo on your face. Yeah, we're not supposed to judge in life, but we do because it's not presentable. So that also rolls into being a store clerk or being somebody working somewhere. Look at this guy. I'm just saying the part out loud that people in this world of being politically correct are afraid to say. If you see somebody with a tattoo on their face, you think they're a seedy character. Just what it is. I have tattoos. I don't got them on my face. You know why? Because I don't want people to look at me like a criminal or a potential criminal or a weirdo. That's the way the world works. Sometimes we try too hard to get away from, one, stereotypes, or two, things that are realisms. That's very real. So I feel for Jelly Roll, and he has turned his life around. But he got tattoos on his face. And when you got tattoos on your face, what comes with the territory are a lot of people looking at you going, what's this guy up to here? And you are looked at very skeptically. So both things can be true. Jelly Roll can be a great guy and do a lot for public and do a lot for people right now. But he can also be looked at as somebody like, especially if you don't know him. That guy got a tattoo on his face. Keep an eye on him when he's in the store. And be honest, I don't got a problem with that. Top of the hour, Dr. Matt Miller. Not Mac Miller, Matt Miller. I'm going to talk to him. He's doing great things at AHN. We talk about them next, KDKA.